Hour number two, Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jared out the rest of the week. Jake and Connor with you today. We'll be back all week. Derek Mason going to join us Thursday and Friday, which will be great, getting to chat with D-Mace as we shuffle things around with just 1 week to go until Titans training camp opens up next Wednesday. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to get into the SEC, but I did just see something that I wanted to talk about. The Chiefs waived Justin Ross. The former Clemson standout, I believe he was a five-star recruit. He was unbelievable in the national championship game, the one they won with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
In 2018?
Yes,
because they lost to LSU in 2019. Yeah. Apparently, he asked for his release, and there are plenty of teams interested. I will just say, I would love for the Titans to go get Justin Ross. I watched that guy at 18 years old just dominating in the college football playoff. I understand he's had health concerns, but if you could get him on a low-risk deal, just like a one-year, see what he can do, I love the talent there with Justin Ross.
Would you consider putting him at punt returner or kick returner, special teams somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, I understand the Titans, like, back-end wide receiver depth is pretty good. Like, there's a lot of guys in there that we've talked about who could make the team, but...
You're selling one of those away if you sign him, though.
Right, but he's got so much talent, and I know, obviously, he hasn't shown it in 4 years in the NFL. Odds are it's never going to come out, but I just still see those memories of him making plays at the highest level of college football, and I can't get it out of my mind that maybe you could turn him around. So
you bring in a three-time Super Bowl champion, too.
Right, exactly, with the Chiefs. So I just a complete tangent, I saw that tweet during the break, and I was like, man, I would love if Justin Ross found a way to turn it around, because I remember seeing him in college and thinking that dude was going to be an absolute superstar. So anyway, on to SEC Media Days, day three down in Atlanta today. We got to see four more teams. Vandy went on Monday. Tennessee went on Tuesday. Today we got to see Florida, Oklahoma, and I'm blanking on the other two teams today. Trying to pull up the schedule here. Florida, Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi State. So interesting teams in all their own rights. And I did want to get to Greg Sankey here, because the SEC commissioner joined Chase and Big Joe earlier today, and he's getting asked about pretty much two main topics the entire time he's down there. One is the college football playoff model, whether it's going to be all the automatic qualifiers, the 4-4-2-2, or the five conference champions and 11 at large. We talked that out ad nauseum last week with Parker Kelly.
It'll be 5-11.
It will be 5-11, I think so. 5 and X number of at-larges, depending on how many teams are in. We're not going to get into that, but I do want to talk about this 8 or 9 game SEC schedule. Greg Sankey was on with Chase and Big Joe earlier today. Here is what the SEC commissioner had to say about whether he thinks the SEC will eventually... So that was Greg Sankey going through all of the different factors the SEC is going to be evaluating when it comes to whether they want to add a 9th conference game. And Connor, I don't see why the SEC would ever do that.
Nope. I'm with you.
The Big Ten needs 9 games because it is such a drastic difference between the top and the bottom of that conference.
Yep.
Like last year, you look at Indiana. Indiana avoided everybody except for Ohio State. They had to play Ohio State. But outside of that, they basically avoided any tough opponent in the Big Ten.
And played Helen Keller School of the Blind and Deaf in their non-conference.
And that's why the question of, is Indiana deserving? Because the Big Ten, outside of those 4, maybe 5, you could possibly argue 6 schools at the top, the other 12 teams in that league just doesn't really move the needle in terms of strength of schedule. It's like when half your games or more than half your games are against Rutgers and Maryland and Northwestern and Purdue – and Minnesota, it just doesn't move the needle. And like, there are going to be years when Wisconsin is pretty good, and there will be years when Washington is pretty good. But overall, that conference just is not. Like, look at the SEC. Even if you avoid, like, let's say you have a schedule where you don't play Georgia or Texas or Alabama this year, you're likely still going to have to play LSU, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, some combination of those teams, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. There's just so much depth in the SEC that there really isn't a weak SEC schedule.
But you know what? The Big Ten doesn't see it that way. Wasn't it Matt Rhule for Nebraska that said, well, the Big Ten should get more teams in the playoff because we play a 9-game conference schedule, and that's more than the SEC. I mean, if you look at the level of, like you said, the level of competition between the SEC and the Big Ten, there's a stark difference. And that's why it should be 8 games, because the Big Ten isn't getting to, if I'm, I don't know, South Carolina, I probably got to play Texas. I probably got to play Georgia and Tennessee and all these big time programs that typically win games. Over on the other side, yeah, you got like Northwestern playing Ohio State, but if I'm an Ohio State, we'll put it on the same level as Georgia, I get to play Rutgers or Northwestern or Iowa or these low-level programs that are not consistently winning on a yearly basis. Why should the SEC add another game when you have that level of competition? And take your wins where you can get them in your non-conference.
Right. And Mississippi State last year was 0-8 in the SEC. They were the worst team in the SEC. But you could probably name 5 or 6 Big Ten teams that I would probably take Mississippi State on a neutral site against.
Yeah.
Like, is that fair to say that if Mississippi State played Purdue or Northwestern or Maryland last year, I think Mississippi State wins those games?
I think it's close, but I think they win them.
And I'm looking at these Big Ten standings. Like, I think the Big Ten is kind of trying to sell it on, well, yeah, right now it's just Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. But we've got these powers of, you know, USC, they've got all this money, and eventually they're going to be good. Fine. Michigan State has been good in the past. Nebraska's been good in the past. Wisconsin, UCLA. It's like you have the potential for this conference to get deeper. But on any given year, can you really expect more than 5 or 6 of those teams to be true playoff contenders?
That's their thing. They want to look towards the future, and the SEC is the now. You have, in the now, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, South Carolina, all of these teams that are good on a year-to-year basis. And yeah, the Big Ten has Ohio State, who's good on a year-to-year basis. Michigan, who had a down year last year, but they're typically good. Oregon is usually a good team. Penn State is a good team. But as far as the lower level, like Rutgers or Northwestern or
right.
Purdue, I don't see those teams getting good anytime soon.
Right. Like 1 through 4, I think, in both conferences are comparable. If you took the top 4 teams in both conferences and did a tournament bracket, I think they would be great games, because Oregon is on par with a top-level SEC team most years. Same with Ohio State. Michigan wasn't great last year, but they beat Alabama in the bowl game, which bowl games...
That's another thing they'll use.
Bowl games, take them with a grain of salt, because who knows who's playing or how hard they're playing. But 5 through 12 in these leagues, it's just not even comparable. But the SEC... Your 12th best team last year was Vanderbilt, who was 7-6, 3-5 in the conference. Your 12th best team in the Big Ten last year was Nebraska. So, like, I don't know. I'm taking Vandy over Nebraska heading into this year. Again, that's just an example. I just think the depth of the SEC, where it doesn't matter what 8 opponents you play, your strength of schedule is going to be pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, you can play cupcakes in the non-conference and avoid Georgia and Texas and Alabama, and you still will probably have a top 25 strength of schedule in the country.
Yeah. And even then, not all SEC teams fit that demographic of, oh, we'll just play cupcakes in the non-conference and then let our strength of schedule in the conference play show all the work. Texas is playing Ohio State week 1.
Right, week 1. That's going to be a good game, and there's going to be so many grand takeaways from it when it's just week one of, like, if Arch Manning goes off and they win at the Horseshoe, Arch Manning is going to be the chosen one. If he isn't already, as we have Paul Feinbaum on in the studio, who's already said he's the greatest quarterback since
Tim. Zip up your pants, Paul.
But if Ohio State wins, you know that all of the Big Ten fans are going to come out of the woodwork and be like, oh, the SEC, the big bad SEC. It's like, it's one game. But I just, the top level talent is about the same.
Right.
It's the depth, and that's why the SEC should never go to 9 games in their regular season. Caleb on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Indiana should have never been the playoff. SC would have destroyed them, and Ole Miss as well. Again, the SEC is undefeated in hypothetical games,
and this is 100% a hypothetical game,
right? And we are kind of having that conversation. But he said it's not close. SEC as a whole is miles better than the Big Ten. I agree with that. I mean, again, I don't want to get into the hypothetical games of, like, when I'm saying the 12th best team, Vandy versus Nebraska, whatever. But I just, the strength of schedule is always going to favor the SEC. 3722 says, I agree with you guys in theory, but an SEC team hasn't even made the national title game in 2 years, so maybe the Big Ten deserves a little more respect. The Big Ten is clearly number two.
Yeah.
But and that's kind of what I'm saying, is like, the Big Ten is going to be in the national title contention every single year, but to say that Iowa, who was an above 500 team in the Big Ten last year, and LSU, who was an above 500 team in the SEC, are on the same playing field is just, it's not true.
I mean, I know we can take the last two years as, well, the SEC wasn't there, but what about the years prior? You had an Alabama title in there. You had an LSU title. You had a Georgia title. You had
two Georgia titles. Yeah.
I mean, it's not close.
Right.
I want people to realize that. I know we're in SEC country and we sound like such homers.
I know.
Right now.
I don't want to get into the whole SEC bias, but I just, the whole 8-9 games, it's the Big Ten is trying to force their kind of agenda into this, because you know, if the SEC goes from 8 to 9 games, the strength of schedule is going to be mocked by the Big Ten, and it's going to be, oh, well, Alabama's 8-4 this year. You can't let a 4-loss team into the college football playoffs. Like, well, they had to play Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee, and Florida, and Texas A&M, and Oklahoma all in the same year. Like, you're not going to get out of there unscathed.
It's that and the people that will come after you and say, well, South Carolina lost their bowl game, or someone like that. I don't think you understand that it's a bowl game, and a lot of these teams will rest players.
Right.
Or players will go opt out to go prepare for the NFL. You don't get the full experience of college football postseason in a bowl game like you would in the playoff.
Bowl games used to mean so much more in the BCS era when, you know, there were only two teams that got to go play for a national championship.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore. When these big name teams like in Alabama miss the college football playoff, I can promise you a lot of guys aren't going to play, and the guys who do play really don't care.
Yeah.
They're there for the experience at that point.
Yes, they are.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts on this, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Don't miss out on some of Nashville's best deals. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals now, and you can purchase half off on gift cards for places like Mellow Mushroom, Red's Hot Chicken, Beach Bend Amusement Park, and Splash Lagoon Water Park, and many more. There was one thing that bothered me yesterday at SEC Media Days, and I'm watching Steve Sarkisian at the podium right now. It has to do with him and Kirby Smart.
Theme song he walked out to.
Not that, actually. Really funny, but that is not where I'm going with this. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I love it.
We got to give him his right song.
Right. Steve Sarkisian walking out yesterday at SEC Media Days to the Texas A&M fight song. Objectively hilarious, but also, you know, how does that happen?
I love how he just didn't acknowledge it either.
Maybe they just had an A&M grad at the DJ booth or whatever playing the songs.
They did this on purpose.
Yeah, they might
it
have.
It was an inside job.
Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you in for Jared Stillman today and throughout the rest of the week. Derek Mason will join us on Thursday and Friday. 8566 on our text line asks, oh snap, did Jared get a timeout for making ESPN ads for their shows yesterday?
No, he made me play one of the fillers yesterday and used his ad as an example of how bad national
ESPN
is.
He played it on the air yesterday?
Yeah, he's like, can you pull a Clinton and Friends filler? And I was like, sure, man, you're the boss.
Jared did not get a timeout. He is just getting ready for football season as training camp starts next week. And then on the YouTube chat, Connor brought this to my attention. Aaron on there says, there's no way that's what young adults look like these days. I turned that on and was thinking, why is there a 14-year-old sitting at the mic? We're tired of these age jokes, Connor.
Yeah, stop it.
I'm 25 years old.
I just deafened half the city of Nashville. I'm not used to this mic. I'm usually in there, not in here.
That is true. It is very different. That producer mic is hot most of the time. Yes, we are plenty old to be doing this show. Thank you very much. I did want to get to yesterday's SC Media Days, and Connor playing the Texas Fight song leads me right into it. Steve Sarkisian and Kirby Smart yesterday, both kind of preaching that, hey, we value relationships, not transactions. I believe that was the exact words from Kirby Smart. Kirby said, we sell relationships over transactions. We don't believe in just being transactional. When you're transactional, you cannot reach your ultimate goal without relationships. Steve Sarkisian's was something like, the last thing we talk about is revenue sharing or NIL money. We want to make sure you're the right fit first before we talk about anything to do with money. And I get it. What else are they going to say? Like, they're not going to go up there and be like, oh, yeah, we just pay these guys and we don't really care what kind of person they are. But to go up there and preach like that, like, somebody posted a video yesterday of recruits walking up to Texas's football facility and they've got like 20 Lamborghinis lining the row. I don't think Georgia does that anymore, but
Texas definitely does it. I've seen it on their field. Like,
no, Texas and Georgia are probably two of the most financially able institutions when it comes to college football,
and probably them too.
This is Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll.
I thought it was going to start out hotter. I'll stop playing fight songs now.
I do love that you have them all right there, don't you?
It's a whole file. Right. Someone made a whole file of SEC fight songs.
It's beautiful. When it comes to NIL, like, I understand no one's going to come out and be like, yeah, guess how much we spent on our roster last year, and we want to be the place that's known for handing out the biggest checks. Like, no one's going to come out and say that, but it just made me roll my eyes to hear Kirby Smart and Steve Sarkisian say that yesterday. It's like, everybody knows that you're blowing tens of millions of dollars on your roster.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell us that you're not.
No one was pressing you and asking you, how much did you spend on your roster this year? Like, I get why you rolled your eyes. Like, I don't really care if you go out of your way to say, well, we value personality more than we do financial gain. I'm like, you do, but we all know that you're blowing, you know, $6 million on a star safety.
Right. It's like, at least Texas Tech is just kind of being open with it. Like, they're just like, yeah, we got these two young oil guys who graduated from here, and we're just going to pay everybody as much as we possibly can. I mean, giving a 17-year-old offensive lineman $5 million guaranteed.
Attaboy, Nick Frazier. What's his coach name?
Oh, Cletus something.
Cletus Tubbins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he still hasn't even played his senior year of high school.
Right.
And he has signed a fully guaranteed contract of $5 million. At least Texas Tech is basically saying, yeah, we are going to be the school that pays for our roster.
Well, they can. They have the oil money.
Right. But so does Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like, Steve Sarkisian, you don't need to tell me that the last thing they talk about is the finances. Maybe that's the last thing you talk about. But I'm sure there is somebody in charge of all that stuff who is sorting that out before you even get brought into the conversation.
Yeah, that's just the coaches trying to stay face to me.
Like, right, I think these head coaches are trying to say, like, they're trying to distance themselves from the money part of it and let other people handle that. But it's like, we know how much you're spending, at least ballpark.
I'm sure I'll even call it front office. I'm sure their front office has said, you know, you go talk to who you want We will figure out the finances later.
Right. That's why all these programs are hiring general managers. Because yes. I think these coaches don't want to be involved with the contracts and the money side of it. So you're hiring this general manager who basically, it's like the coach can come in and he's recruiting you and meeting your family and making sure you're a good fit. Whatever, the relationship side. But that doesn't change the fact that you've got the bag man coming in behind you to drop $1 million
like
on whoever.
I said, it's them trying to stay face, and they're trying to keep their portion of traditional college football alive as of, you know, I'll use Nick Saban as an example, going to a recruit's house and doing a TikTok dance to get him to come to your program.
Or Nick Saban doing the Cupid shuffle in the living room with the family.
Or who was the one? I think it was a Wisconsin coach. He came over and played college football with a recruit, and the recruit just smoked him.
Really?
Yeah.
It was funny. I saw when I was at SEC Media Days, they had some of the players playing college football. And
did they?
Yeah, so Martell Hite was playing Randon Fontanette, who were both there with Vandy.
Yeah.
And Randon Fontanette intercepted Martell with Martell Hite and took it back 101 yards for a pick six, which I thought was pretty
better. Funny. Did you tell Pavia not to jump around too much because he might rip his tuxedo?
He looked good, didn't he?
He looked good.
Yeah,
the chain sticking out.
They were dressed to the nines for sure. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinitix Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. More from SEC Media Days. Today we got to see two of the dark horse, I guess you could say, teams, Florida and Oklahoma. They spoke to the media this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about the Gators and the Sooners coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Last one.
All fight songs today.
I mean, I could do this all day.
I heard this one a lot last year.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I was trying to find Virginia Tech in here, but we didn't have it.
Hokey, 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 hi. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The Game. Hear the Sooners fight song. We're going to talk a little Oklahoma and some Florida to wrap up hour number two. SEC Media Days still rolling along down in Atlanta. Great coverage from Chase and Big Joe the last couple of days. They'll be down there again tomorrow. Got Vandy in there on Monday, Tennessee yesterday. Today, first day without an in-state school being showcased at the College Football Hall of Fame. But Florida and Oklahoma were the two afternoon school programs today. We got Alabama and Mississippi State in the morning. And Alabama is interesting for its own reasons, and they're always going to be in the conversation. But Florida and Oklahoma, I think, are two of the biggest wild cards in the SEC this year. You can kind of tier out the SEC this season with definite title contenders. That's your Texas, Georgia. I'd put Alabama and LSU in there. Like those teams are going to be in the college football playoff conversation to the very end. Then you have your fringe right on the outside looking in. South Carolina is probably right around there. You could probably put Florida in that conversation too, but Oklahoma is so interesting to me because they did bring in John Mateer, who may be one of the more underrated players out of the transfer portal this year. Brent Venables, it's a big year for him. They went 6-7 last year, 2-6 in the SEC. If they don't turn it around quick, he's probably in trouble. But they brought in Mateer's offensive coordinator, I believe.
They planted a lot of Wazoo personnel.
Kind of similar to what Clark Lee did last year with New Mexico State. And you saw the immediate jump for Vanderbilt. I'm wondering if Oklahoma can have the exact same type of year.
Yeah, I love John Mateer. I think he's a good quarterback. But honestly, I'm not as high on Oklahoma as I think you are. I just don't think the pieces are there. And I think it's an uphill climb for them. I mean, it's an uphill climb for most teams in the SEC. But they got to play, you know, Tennessee at home or in Neyland. I mean, Texas is always a tough game for them. LSU, they've got a lot of teams that are on paper better than them this season that they have to play. And I don't know. I'm just not all in on the Boomer Sooners like a lot of people are.
I wouldn't say I'm all in on them, but I think it's a big boomer bust kind of year. Like, I could see them being
boomer bust.
Boomer, yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose. I could see them being a top 15 team this year if the pieces all fall into place, but I could also see it being another right around 500 season, which probably means Brent Venables isn't going to be very long for Norman. It is a tough schedule. You look at Michigan coming to Norman in week two. That'll be a great game. And honestly, we're going to learn a lot about those two teams because Michigan is kind of a wild card too. I think they're going to be good, but I don't know if they're going to be title contender good. Then Auburn comes to Oklahoma. Revenge game.
Yeah.
Bringing back, why am I blanking on the quarterback's name at Auburn? The five-star guy.
Jarnold.
Yeah, Jackson Arnold. So revenge game there in Norman. And then you look at this stretch. I mean, five straight games. Red River rivalry in Dallas against Texas, at South Carolina, Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Alabama. You make a good point that, like, if you could go 3-2 in that stretch, you probably feel pretty good.
I just don't know if they can.
I don't know if they can either. Like, you go 3-2 in that stretch, and you win one between Michigan and LSU at home. That would put you at 9-3 if you win all of your other games. I think that gets you in the playoffs. But I'm not 100% sure that they're going to be able to actually compete with some of those teams. But Mateer is so interesting because he was really good at Washington State, but kind of an unknown because obviously the Pac-12 disbanded and no one was really watching Washington State games. I think it could either be like a Cam Ward where he comes in and immediately thrusts that team back into the conversation, or it could be like a DJ Uiagalelei, like Jared talks about with DJU, about how he went to Oregon State, no one watched him for a year, and then he goes to Florida State, and everybody's like, oh, he had a good year last year, and then he sucks.
Yeah.
So I don't know which way it's going to go with Mateer in Oklahoma, but they are very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people are drinking the Kool-Aid. I know what you're laughing at. A lot of people are drinking the Kool-Aid on the Boomer Sooners. I'm not one of those people, but I am one of those people on the other team that went
on
today.
On Florida?
Yeah. I love DJ Lagway. I love the pieces they have on offense. The thing for me is, can Billy get it together?
Right. Billy Napier, a year ago today, Florida fans wanted him fired already heading into the season.
Right.
And then Graham Mertz was just not good, and they got...
I don't think he was not good. He was serviceable.
He was fine, but he wasn't a playmaker. He wasn't a superstar, and Lagway has the ability to be a superstar. Florida, I would not be shocked to see Florida in the playoff this year. And then I don't know how deep you go because, again, Lagway is only a true sophomore. So, but if you can retain him, because obviously everybody is always up to be re-recruited, man, if Lagway got the Gators to the playoffs this year and then jumped back into the portal...
He goes to Ohio State in the new universe.
in your universe?
And Arch Manning goes to Auburn.
Wow, that's an interesting one.
It was crazy.
Lagway, if they go to the playoffs this year and Lagway stays, Florida, I think, would be a national championship favorite heading into the 2026 season.
I think, bear with me now, all the hype that Arch Manning gets from Paul Feinbaum and SEC media, I honestly think that should be directed towards DJ Lagway.
I think Lagway, out of the young quarterbacks who are on the verge of breaking out in the SEC, he gets talked about the least. Like, Sellers gets talked about a lot. Manning gets talked about a lot. But you don't see a whole lot of conversation around DJ Lagway. I know they talk about him, but...
And he has the biggest arm of the three.
Right. Big arm. He's mobile. I'm excited to watch Florida this year. Let me pull up Florida's schedule and just see what that looks like. They should enter the year as a top 15 team. And then it's all about just kind of getting, if you can get to 9-10 wins, you're probably in playing in the SEC. Like, you start with Long Island, FCS school, and South Florida. So you'll be 2-0. Then you get a tough stretch of four straight games at LSU, at Miami, Texas, at A&M.
Ooh.
That's going to be – there is a bye week in there. That is a month where we're going to find out how good DJ Lagway is.
You got
to
win three of those four if you want to even sniff the college football playoff.
Right, because you still have Georgia at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and I know Florida State was 2-10 last year.
They're going to be better.
But Florida State's going to be better, and it's a rivalry game where it's just, to use the old cliche, you throw the records out when these two teams play each other. There could be some weird stuff that goes on in that game. But you're right. That month of the year, if Florida comes out of that A&M game on October 11th and comes back home to face Mississippi State and they're 5-1, they're probably a top 7 or 8 team in the country.
Yeah, I would say so. But I think they have the potential to do that.
Man, it's going to be tough to go 3-1 in that stretch. That means you have to win 2 of 3. Like, at Miami, Hard Rock Stadium's not a tough place to play. It really just is.
And Miami's not going to be as good as they were last
year. Miami's going to be fine, but that's a game you should win.
It's also a rivalry.
You got to go to Death Valley to face LSU.
Probably at night.
Yes, I would assume so. Then you host Texas.
Actually, I know that's at night because that's the week.
It says 7:30 p.m.
Tennessee and Georgia play that week, and
that's it.
They were all mad that they didn't get the night game.
Yeah, Lagway, Nussmeier is going to be, that one's going to get the prime time. Then Texas at home. That's off a bye week, but Texas, possibly the number one team in the country. That's not a game that you can just chalk up as a W. And then at Kyle Field, which if you're looking at great atmospheres, Kyle Field is definitely in the conversation. Now, they're not unbeatable there, but that's over 100,000 people. It's not going to be easy. So to win 3 out of those 4, that's going to be tough. But Florida, definitely a sleeper team. I don't know if they're getting as much attention as, say, a South Carolina is, but I could see them in the playoff at the end of the year.
Honestly, right now looking at the schedule, I think I'd pick them to go 9-3 and sneak in.
Which 9-3 as an SEC team with that schedule, I think puts you right on the fringe.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're scheduling cupcakes in the non-conference. Miami and Florida State, is it Michigan and Ohio State? No, but those are power conference teams. They're not scheduling all cupcakes. I think 9-3 gets you in, but that's the dividing line for SEC teams is 10 wins as an SEC school, you're in. Anything more than that, you're in. 9 is going to put you right on the bubble. We saw that with Ole Miss, Alabama, and South Carolina last year. So 9 is going to be, I think you're going to be sweating on selection day if you're 9-3 heading out of the regular season.
Clenching.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Clenching, not clinching, like Joe Rexroad says.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on any of the teams that spoke today, we're not ignoring Alabama and Mississippi State, but I just think the storylines around Florida and Oklahoma are a little bit more intriguing. Mississippi State coming off a winless SEC season.
I think we know more what they are.
Yeah, like Alabama, there is the question of, are they going to get back to being a true national championship contender under DeBoer? But I think you know that they're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
For the most part. Florida and Oklahoma are wild cards because I could see either of them being in the playoff conversation or being 6-6. So I think we'll have to look at that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, we'll get to your phones coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Every time you say it's the last one,
you got to finish out the hour.
I guess that's true.
With the best.
We at all fight songs is bump music here in the 4 o'clock hour. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Let's get to all of your thoughts out there on the teams that spoke today, specifically Florida and Oklahoma. Let's start with Julio in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Julio, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good to hear from y'all this afternoon. There's been a lot of made about Oklahoma's schedule today after SEC Media Days, and I agree they have a super hard schedule. I'm just wondering how you compare it to Vanderbilt's schedule, which I think is probably the hardest in college football, and what you think both teams could do, particularly with Diego Pavia and the playoff-bound Clark Lee Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Julio. I think Vandy's schedule is really tough. It is. But yeah, we went through it last week, and we did get blasted on the text line for saying this, but there are winnable games on that schedule.
Yeah.
There are some games that you look at and you say, all right, well, to beat Alabama twice in 1 year, and especially twice in 2 years, and especially doing it in Tuscaloosa, probably not super realistic. To go and beat Texas in Austin, again, probably not super realistic. LSU coming to Nashville, going to be very tough. But outside of that, I don't see a whole lot of games that they can't win on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you bring Tennessee here.
No, Tennessee's in Knoxville this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Kentucky is here.
Right. Kentucky's here. Auburn's here. Missouri's here. Those are three games that... Is it fair to say Vandy could be favored in all three of those?
It depends on...
I don't know about favor, but it may be less than a touchdown. Less than
it usually is.
I would say less than 5 points. Maybe you're an underdog. And then your non-conference, as much as I like the Hokies, those are all winnable games. At South Carolina is going to be tough. At Tennessee is going to be tough. But I think if you say Vandy plays their game plan, they limit the other team's offensive possessions, they don't turn the ball over, and they play their game and play it to a high level, I think there's a chance you could win any of those other games. Again, Texas, LSU, Alabama, I think it's tough. It's going to be tough to see Vandy winning those games. But the other nine, not saying they're going to win all of them, I think there's a chance for them to win those games. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Adam in Portland says, did you just say Florida is a playoff team? LOL, sounding like the type of dude that thinks the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. Weird take, Napier sucks. I don't know if that's a weird take. Like, they're going to be a top 15 preseason poll team.
I mean, they're getting a lot of love on national media, too. So,
right, like,
this isn't an original take.
In a 12-team playoff, they're a playoff team. I wouldn't put them in the playoff conversation if we were still doing four teams, but
they'd be that 9 to 12 range.
I would say preseason poll, they're going to slot in anywhere from 10 to 15.
I think that's fair.
And that puts you in the playoff conversation. And I think Florida, rightfully so, deserves to be in that conversation right now. We'll see what happens when they actually hit the field. But right now, on paper, that Florida team is a comfortable playoff contender. I wouldn't put Oklahoma
right
that
now.
High. Right now. Yes.
Right
now. Right now.
That's the key word.
They could
right now.
They're going to win their first two games, and they will probably be a top 12 team when they go to Death Valley to face LSU. And if they get run off the field, then I think we can have a different discussion. But on paper, I think they are a playoff contender right now. 2688 on our text line says, 9-3 if you're a Big Ten or SEC school will get you in as long as you don't have an ugly loss. I agree with that. I think ugly losses is the only thing that could keep you out at 9-3. But
yeah, sorry.
But it depends on what the rest of the world or the rest of the country does, right? Like if you get a bunch of ACC teams, like you get two ACC teams that go 11-1 and face off in the conference championship, and the Big 12 has a surprise contender come out of nowhere, and maybe the Big 10 has a better year than last year, then that changes things. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that, but I do think that 9-3 as an SEC team probably gets you in. Julio also asked, Notre Dame in the conversation for toughest schedule? Usually they are, right? Like the way that they schedule, typically Notre Dame is always towards the top. That's why they're usually in the playoff conversation.
Yes.
Let's take a look at their schedule.
Sorry, I'm
I know that they,
I'm doing like three different jobs right now.
I know, you are very busy back there. Let's see. 2025 schedule for Notre Dame. So, at Miami, A&M, at Arkansas, USC, and then a bunch of they have their ACC teams. The ACC schedule, not too horrible for Notre Dame this year. Again, not obviously they don't play in the ACC, but they play five teams from the ACC. Syracuse, Pitt, Stanford, NC State, Miami. Miami's really the only tough one there. So I wouldn't I wouldn't say that they're in the conversation for toughest schedule in the country, but that's definitely a schedule that if you go 10-2 if you're Notre Dame, I think you're probably in.
Yeah. I'm noticing we're being blasted. You too. I'm being roped into this about Vanderbilt. Do you want to know my Vanderbilt season prediction?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have them going 5-7.
Well, Greg on our text line, was the guy who I was referring to saying that when I was saying people were getting on us about saying 9 winnable games. I'm not saying they're going to win 9 games.
No, I agree with you. They're winnable.
Right. It's about can you play your best football in those 9 games? Odds are not every single one you're going to. I would probably put Vandy as, 7-5, I think would be my guess. You take a step forward from last year.
I think you take a step back.
Right.
But that's just me.
And honestly, who knows? Because last year, if you were mapping out Vandy's 6 wins, would you have put Alabama as a win or Georgia State as a loss if you were trying to find a way for Vandy to bowl eligibility? No one would have ever guessed that you would beat Alabama and lose to Georgia State and still get to be bowl eligible.
I guessed one of those things.
You did. You did guess the Georgia State one.
I'm not one of those people that likes to be like, well, who told you that was going to happen? But I do wear that one proudly.
Gino says, agree with Adam. Sunbelt Billy doesn't know what he's doing. Florida is the new Texas. We're back every year. And that's fair. Like, they could totally let everybody down. I just think the quarterback makes it different. Like, they have the guy at quarterback.
They haven't had the guy in a long time.
Right.
Since Tebow, honestly.
They've thought they've had the guy a couple times, but they haven't. MSU also has a better chance to be undefeated when they play Tennessee in late September. Yeah, Mississippi State. I feel bad for our guy, Nick Frazier, but Mississippi State's been, they've had a tough go of it the last couple years. Let me look at their schedule.
This could either be a good take or just complete sarcasm, no in between. Not from me, from the texter.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Southern Miss.
You're looking at me like I was going to say something.
I thought you were making a take. I misunderstood. Arizona State coming to Starkville. Arizona State's going to be pretty good this
year.
They
got a good quarterback, too.
You're right. They got Levitt back. They have a really good wide receiver, too, right? I just saw his name the other day. Anyway, Alcorn State, Northern Illinois. Fair enough, Texter. Like 15-24, there is an outside chance that you are undefeated heading into that game against Tennessee. Like Northern Illinois, Alcorn State, and Southern Miss. Think you feel pretty good about those. Arizona State, and that one's in Starkville. So, fair enough. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. We're going to get back to the Titans here, but we'll still take your thoughts on SEC Media Days. Training camp is a week away. So we're going to take a way too early shot at some roster decisions for the Titans. Not going all 53. We don't have time for that. And honestly, it's kind of a pointless exercise before training.
It's a little overblown, too. Like, right. Everyone does. Like, I'll use Chase as an example. He knows I love him. But Chase will come on his show and be like, I have my official 53-man roster.
And Jared will probably do the same thing next week.
Joe Rexroad will do it. Bobby will do it. They'll all do it.
We don't need to do that because last year the Titans kept 5 tight ends, and no one guessed they were going to keep 5 tight ends. So I think it's kind of a pointless exercise, especially before training camp. But there are some battles that we're going to look at and kind of go this or that. Who do you think has the upper edge as we head towards training camp? Obviously all subject to change. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Final hour of the program coming up next here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.